say thank you, worship team, for leading us in that particular set of songs, but especially that last one. I hope that is your prayer and cry today. Lord, I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to have that close walk with you. I want to know what it is to have that abundant life that Jesus said he came to give. Jesus in John 10 says there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That abundant, full life. Is that already this year what you've been experiencing? Are you overjoyed? Or has it been like, well, I don't know. It just seems like my plane's going down the runway, but it just doesn't seem to quite get off, you know, the ground. It seems like, oh, yeah, it's up, but then we're back down again. It seems like, I don't understand. The psalmist, Daniel, I was talking to earlier in this week through the tragedy that their family is facing, and he kept bringing up Psalm 42 that just kind of echoes that prayer. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet trust him. My Savior and God. That confession that says, I'm going to trust you even though I don't understand why I'm down. I'm going to believe in you even when it seems difficult, when I can't see the end. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see the resolution. I'm going to trust you when my heart is heavy. For those of us, as we're studying this book of Joshua, we come and we see this sort of success of God's people. We see this entering into the promised land. But I think we also can learn that there are things in this text that teach us about difficult days, about breaking through those strongholds, those places in our lives that just this it just doesn't seem to get better. It just doesn't seem to. We need a breakthrough. We want to get through to the other side. What are we talking about? Well, I mentioned the word strongholds, and the scripture speaks about those in Corinthians. But there are these things in our lives, and I just sort of call them strongholds, but they are those places that it just doesn't seem like you can get through. It just doesn't seem like there's a change. Now some of these can be pretty heavy and pretty difficult. The addictions in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? These things that sort of have us and hold us and don't want to let us go. These sins that seem to keep coming back to us. Yeah, the scripture speaks about those. But it can also be things like self-conceptions, things that sort of shape how you think you are, the voices in the back of your head that are speaking lies, things that are not true. Or quite honestly, can be true, but God has redeemed. God has made a way. God has made a difference. Maybe there are these sort of patterns of how you have conflict, patterns of how you deal with bosses, patterns of how you deal with challenges and risks that you just aren't willing to take or stepping out in faith. Or maybe there are bad habits that just seem to overcome us. These are heavy things. Is anybody with me? And sometimes they're just the light ones. I told the children, and I guess you heard it too, I am trying to get a little healthier. It's been a long time since the gym and I were friends. Trying to get back to that habit. And there's part of me that, I believe, you know, at least I say I believe, you know, like, well, you know, the last thing I'm going to do is give up. There's no quit in McQuitty. And you're like, you know, it's literally the middle part of that whole, your last name. It is the last thing, and it's right there. Okay. All right. I get it. Every semester I start anew. Every semester. This time, I'm going to make it all the way through. And the first 3 weeks are pretty good. And then there's week 4, where it's about half. And then week 5, you start making excuses. And then by week 6, you're just, you know. You're going to read every assignment, right? This semester, guys, right? We're going to do it. Everything that's on the syllabus, you're going to do it on time, right? Right? Anybody making those vows? Yeah. I did too. There's a lot of quitting, McQuitty. I got to be honest. Okay. So from the lighter things, it seems like that we still make it through to the things that really do grab our souls and keep and hurt our relationship with God. These are these strongholds. There's a picture up on the screen. One of these famous ones in Syria is, and this is one of these fortresses that just has this mountaintop in Syria. It was a crusader one, and they built this big fortress, and it was just pretty much impenetrable, right? You couldn't get up the hill, and if you could get up the hill, then you got to get over the wall, and if you could get over the wall, oh yeah, then it's a trap, and they got another wall. And it's built so that you can't get through. It's built so that you can't achieve. It's built so you can't overcome. Well, there's things in our minds, these things we play up that seem like that stronghold that keep us from getting up the hill, that those negative statements that keep us back. But then there's those traps of Satan, that when you think you're free, and then all of a sudden, man, there's that another temptation that comes your way. There's things we have an enemy that is against us. How do we get through these strongholds? In the book of Joshua, well, we have seen how the people came into the promised land, and God did a miracle and parted the Jordan, sort of stacked up the water at one end, and it ran down to the bottom, and they crossed on dry land, which means that God did a miracle that the muddy wetness was all of a sudden dry. And they set up a memorial that says, man, God has done this great thing. Just like he parted the Red Sea, now he's made a way. And there had to be success. We heard from Pastor Barry about the dedication that they had, that they set themselves apart. And again, they did that at Gilgal and kind of reinstated circumcision and reinstated the worship. And an angel of the Lord appeared, this commander of the Lord's army. So I'm thinking it was Jesus. I'm thinking it was this angelic being. But someone came and appeared and said, look, all right, Joshua, time to go, and you're going to take on Jericho, that fortified city, that big city on the hill, that city that no one can get through. The first challenge the people of God would face. Sure, they saw the miracles. Sure, they had seen God's provision. Sure, they had heard the promises. But now it's time. It's all in time. It's commitment time. And they were going to step forward into this moment. Now, like I said, there are these addictions, and we know that they are there in Titus chapter 3. It says we were all foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of God, of love of God, our Savior appeared, he saved us. I think that the people of God, maybe in this moment of going to Jericho, were facing a moment where the failures of the past might have kind of come to mind. The difficulties of the past. They just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Why? Because the spies had given a bad report about a good land. They had lied about the promises of God, and the people had rejected God's promises, and they walked away. Let's look at what they had heard. In Numbers 13, this is what the account that the spies, the Israelite spies, who went to this promised land, and they looked around, and they saw all the blessings that were there, but they also saw these fortified cities. They gave this report to Moses, it says in Numbers 13. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. I mean, there is evidence. Yeah. It's good. God was truthful. But the people who live there are powerful. And their cities are fortified. I mean, not even Egypt had these fortified cities. I mean, their cities are fortified, and they're very large. They went on to describe all of this to the people. And in fact, it says in verse 32, they spread amongst the people this report. It was about, it's not that great. You know, it's not that good. And then they talked about those fortified cities. They talked about the people that seemed very large and very powerful. In verse 33, it says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Just, you know, we're like bugs. We're nothing. There's no way. That's what they were saying. There's no way it'll work out. There's no way we're going to be over to come. There's no. And for 40 years, they had to wander in the wilderness. Now, we see that as judgment, and it was. We see that as sort of God kind of. But it was also refining, because for 40 years, they saw how God miraculously provided water, how God miraculously provided food for 40 years. For over a million, probably closer to 2 million people. Could you imagine that? Anybody get stressed out when you have the family come over for dinner? I've gotten right. I swing by Mission Barbecue, man. I'll pick it up. You know, okay. But anybody get stressed? I mean, Could you imagine? How do you feed? God provided. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. God was refining a people for himself that learned to walk with God, that learned to trust in God. But even still, as they faced this big challenge, even though they'd seen all of God's provision, I'm wondering whether that same people began to hear that fortified city? Oh yeah, Jericho. I wonder how big the people are there. I wonder if we're like grasshoppers. You know, our parents really didn't get this done. You know, that last generation wasn't able to accomplish this. Are we really going to do it? Is God really going to come through? Does anybody have those doubts? Does anybody have those fears? Oh, yeah, he got me through college, but can I do grad school? Oh, yeah, he got me through high school. Can I do college? Oh, yeah, the last semester worked out, but oh, no, this semester, boy, those syllabi really look bad this time. Or, oh, no, this job change or this struggle or this new boss or this illness or this sickness or this grief or this habit that I'm trying to change or this addiction I'm trying to break. Can I make it through? I wonder if the people of God face that same kind of worry. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you that we learned from the story. Number one, this is the big truth from the story, is that when we're going to break through those strongholds like this giant metaphorical city of Jericho, when you're going to break through that stronghold in our lives, it requires from us faith-filled obedience. Now, why do you say faith-filled obedience? Because it is a very much a belief that, no, God, you're God. You are able to do what you've promised. God, you are God. I just need to do it your way. It's faith-filled obedience. It's a trust that God's way is right, that God will do what he said according to his part, and we trust in him and do what he says. Because God always calls us to step out in faith and do it his way, God's way. Let's take a look. Chapter 6, book of Jericho, or book of Joshua, it says this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred. They knew the Israelites were coming. They were securely barred because of the Israelites. Nobody went in and nobody came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho in your hands, along with the king and his fighting men. What? Wait, what? This is one of those verses that bothers me a little bit. It always makes me go, wait, what? There's this contradiction there. There's this juxtaposition of two very, very different things. Secure. The doors are shut. The gates are locked. The walls are up. The guards are on top. No one's getting in. No one's getting out. It is secure. And God says, see, I've delivered it into your hands. I'm thinking, no, God, that means everyone was asleep, everybody's on vacation, they accidentally left the back door open. It's good. But God's like, no, you're looking with your eyes, you're not looking with my eyes. You don't see what I see. You don't see the deliverance that's already here. You don't understand God is God. And isn't that us in every situation? We see the illness. We see the bills. We see the impossible broken relationship. We don't see what God is able to do, where he's able to change a heart, where he's able to change a nation, where he's able to open doors for his message, where he's able to do amazing things. The Mexico team just got back. As they were preparing, we heard all kinds of stories before we even went of, listen, the Mexican government and the way they work with their universities is not the same with us. They don't have the same freedom to be able to share gospel there. There wouldn't be open doors. Were there open doors? I'm hearing one little amen. Any more amens? All right. We're going to hear some testimonies about this because we need to. God opened doors for his message. Because for God, it's an open door. Yeah, but this person, they would never want to hear about Jesus. Are you kidding me? God is pursuing. God is making a way where there is no way. But you don't understand. My bills are too big. Jesus owns it all. It all belongs to him. He is the answer. He is the healer. It looks barred to me. It looks closed. But God says, see, I've already delivered it into your hands. So God gave Joshua some instructions here, but he gave a battle plan. Let's take a look at it. Here were the instructions to Joshua. March around the city once with all of the armed men. I mean, you're talking thousands of guys. Do this for 6 days. have seven priests carry the trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. That's the ark of the covenant of God, not Noah's ark. This is where it had the Ten Commandments, all that stuff. Take that thing and march around the city. And on the seventh day, so you do it for 7 days, but on day seven, march around it, he says, seven times with the priests blowing the horns and the trumpets. And verse 5, and then when you hear the sound of a long blast of trumpets on that seventh day, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go straight in. Everyone, straight in. I'm not sure I would buy that. I'm thinking, no, first you soften them up with the artillery. That's how you, maybe, can we get air superiority first, God? That's what you got to do. What we need to do is, well, maybe if we surround them long enough, we can kind of, they'll run out of food or something, you know, lay siege. Now, that's how sieges work. You build a big siege ramp. You dig under the wall to make it collapse. There's a lot of things we can do, God. There are ways to take a fortified city. Just march around it playing the trumpets? That's not it. Guys, faith-filled obedience is a key. The idea is that you do what God says God's way. You see, if we would say, okay, we need transformation. I mean, our nations are in turmoil. Our families are in turmoil. And we hear what God promised to Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and come and heal their land. What is there? Some prayer, some seeking God, some turning from wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, humbling ourselves to say, God, your way, you make a difference. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is not just, I did it. You know that, right? Confession is, God, I did this. You hate this. I hate this. You wanted that out of my life. I wanted that out of my life. I confess that your way is right, and I am turning from this. Confession involves repenting. We don't want to. We want to say, yeah, God, I want to be restored. I want to be new. I want to be with you. But we don't want to make any changes. Where the Lord says, confess. He says, repent. In Acts chapter 3:19, Peter is preaching to the crowd, and he says, look, guys, repent, therefore, and turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out, and days of refreshing may come from the Lord. I love the songs we sang. They were songs that echoed the verses we heard this morning from the Psalms 80 about come, save, and restore. But we've got to go and do what God said to do. We have to leave behind the things that have got us trapped. We've got to leave behind the addictions. We've got to leave behind the things that maybe are monopolizing our time and space. Sometimes it's just, hey, it's just too much football. I'm kind of glad it's over. Anybody else? I mean, mine was over last week. Sorry. I don't know. That's a painful memory. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of glad because it began to take up too much of my time. I need time for the Lord and his work and his ministry. Are you following me a little bit? See, everybody got quiet. Everybody was like, yeah, breakthrough, yeah, let's get, yeah. But all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, repent, leave some things behind, yeah, make more room for God. Yeah, and it's like, You know, there wasn't a here. The people couldn't have done a here. It was like, yeah, well, maybe we should go ahead and start getting some dirt for the siege ramp. That's not how it worked. Go march around the city. Do it for 7 days. On day 7, just go ahead and make a shout. Because the victory is already there. You've got to do what God says for the breakthrough his way. Some of that is confessing your sins to one another. Yeah, you don't have to as far as forgiveness. Jesus forgives you. Jesus has already made a way through Jesus Christ. But sometimes to get the stuff out of your life, you got to bring it into the light. I hate that, but Jesus said it. John chapter 3, men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. You want to keep it under light. But anything that is brought into the light been seen by God. We need to bring into the light with each other so that we can hold each other accountable, so that we can know the acceptance is there, the love is there. That doesn't mean you have to say it to everybody, but to a few close to trust brothers and sisters that help you in the journey, yeah, we're called to fight with each other, because we're typically fighting together or we're losing. Catch that one? Yeah. God has called us to some new things. You guys are holding me accountable. If you see me, you know, Skip, you can ask me about that whole gym thing, right? I mean, hold me accountable. How's it going? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, verse 3, "For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Notice that. We don't fight it as the world fights. We've got to do it God's way. It's not the weapons of this world. It's God's divine power that helps us overcome those weaknesses, those addictions. Helps. Did you know one of the fruits of the Spirit? Did anybody know those? You have to I memorized them when I was a kid. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, long-suffering, gentleness. Yeah. And so there it is. Self-control. That's discipline. That is actually a fruit of the Spirit. Lord, help me. I surrender. Just like the song said, I give you, I'm a living sacrifice. I surrender. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me have self-discipline. Here's one. Titus 2. You like this one? The grace of God has appeared to all men. It, the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and wickedness and to live, ready, self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. You see what just happened there, right? I mean, yes, Jesus redeemed us. He gave himself. There's the gospel. Jesus did it all. He saved us. He redeemed us. And he is now purifying for us. And what is part of how he does that? By his power and his Spirit, his grace is teaching us to say no and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives while we wait for him. Let's be those people this year that say, God, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. The song that was picked, right, was the song of this morning. I surrender. Have your way. It's God's way in faith-filled obedience. I'm trusting that God can make this change in my life. Well, there's one other part of this story. One other principle is that breaking the strongholds requires faithful obedience. And you're like, that was the first point. No, it wasn't. It's going to pop up here in a second. It's real slight. Breaking strongholds required, the first point was faith-filled, trusting that God can do it, doing it his way. But there's a second piece. It's faithful obedience. It can't be, I did it once. I started it. I confessed it once. I repented once. I did it once. Yes, when we come to Jesus that very first time, we are marked in a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We are transformed. We become a new creation. But now we live out a faithful obedience where we have to say no to things on a daily basis, where we repent of things and get it out of our lives on a daily basis, where we say yes to Christ on a daily basis. It is faithful obedience, not just faith-filled. Is that, yeah? Sometimes I'm pretty good with the faith-filled, but then when it comes to faithful, that's where I find my problems. You know about Quitter's Day, right? Some commercials have made that popular. I didn't really know about that. It's not McQuitter's Day. It's not like the McQuitty family or anything. But McQuitter's Day, what is it? It's actually, I don't know, some studies have done this, and some were saying it's two-thirds, some are saying 80%. But it's people who make a New Year's resolution, 80%, and like I said, some newer studies say, no, it's more like two-thirds, but they actually quit by the second week of January. Second Friday of January, so it is now called Quitter's Day. This is the day people poop out. So here's what I decided.
I would start my little exercise program right before Quitter's Day so I could make it past. Strategic. And so I waited 2 weeks to get started. That way I didn't quit on Quitter's Day. Whatever works, man. Whatever helps. Okay. Here's some keys that I was looking at that this is just from psychology that they're saying, hey, this will help. Here's some things that would help you not to quit. The first thing is that people decide to do something, but they quit because they're not totally devoted to it. Or second key is that they're not persistent with it. Well, that seems kind of obvious because that would be quitting. And it says the third that they said is they don't have a group or a club or some people doing it with them. That hurts. Wait, here's psychology kind of stuff. Here's some advice that sure sounds a lot like total commitment and surrender. I surrender. It sounds a lot like faithfulness. God and your Holy Spirit, help me be faithful. I will say no, not only today, but tomorrow. I will say yes to your ways, not only today, but tomorrow and the next day. There's a faithfulness. There's a persistence. There is an ongoing. Peter says in 2 Peter, he says, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, you know, gentleness, and not add to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge goodness, and to goodness self-control, and to self-control long-suffering or perseverance. It's this idea that it's got to go forward. We've got to have that persistent peace. And then finally, did you hear the last part? Join a group or a club that's also trying to get in shape. I got a former alumni. He's a physical therapist, and he can lift, like, I think it's 8,000 pounds. I watched him do it. He's amazing. He's huge. And Jermaine is like, all right, Pastor Mike, we're going to get you in shape, buddy. And, man, he calls me every Monday to say, all right, here's what you're doing. Here's where we're going. And that guy, he's the most motivated, goal-oriented. He's quit powerlifting. He's decided to run a marathon in a month or something. I mean, the guy is driven, but he's like, and my drivenness is bleeding over to you, buddy. I need Jermaine. I need a guy that's holding me accountable, that's saying, did you do it this week? Did you get it done? Did you get all three exercises I assigned you? Are you getting it done? Do it together. That sounds a lot how God says to do it, that we confess our sins to one another, that we hold each other accountable, that we need each other as a church body. How are we doing that on campus? How are we doing that as a church? How are we doing that in our Bible study classes? How are we doing that together? It's faithful obedience. Let's see it in the scripture. Let's see it in the text. Verse 15, it says, On the seventh day they got up at daybreak, and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city seven times. And the seventh time around, when the priest sounded the loud blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that's in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Wait, what? What's that? All that's in it devoted to the Lord? This is called the ban. It meant that you couldn't, what God was about to do, it is for the Lord. And you couldn't take it for yourself. You couldn't take prisoners for yourself. You couldn't take the money that was there for yourself. You couldn't take the cattle for yourself. It was all to be wiped out. It was all to be either given into God's temple, like the money kind of stuff, but it was all, this was part of the faithful obedience. We'll see something next week that they weren't exactly as faithful as they were supposed to be, but they was called to be faithful in that. Verse 17. But there was an exception. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were worth her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies who were sent. You heard about that a few weeks ago. Rahab who switched sides. Rahab who put her faith in God. Rahab, and so it takes time to mention her. In fact, did you know about 40% of this whole passage is about Rahab? They keep repeating the passage. Rahab is to be spared. Rahab is to be shown mercy. Verse 20, it says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, the men gave a loud shout, and the wall collapsed. So everyone charged in straight, and they took the city. Then how they devoted to the Lord, the city to the Lord, and they destroyed with the sword everything that was in it. Wait, but that's a really good cow. I needed a new cow. That's a really good goat. I need a new goat. No, they destroyed men, women, young, old, cattle, sheep, donkeys. They burned the whole city, everything. And those are some nice clothes. Nope, going in the fire. But that's a nice set of drapes. I could use that in my tent. No, I'm going in the fire. They put the silver, the gold, the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, and with her, her whole family, and all that belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Faithful obedience. Faithful obedience to take the things that they might have coveted, the things that they might have wanted, the things that would have benefited them, said, no, this is devoted to the Lord. They were faithful to do it as God said. They were faithful to march around the city for 7 days. They were faithful to blow the trumpets. They were faithful to form that habit of trust and obedience. They were faithful to do it together. They were faithful to obey God's command about Rahab, who was that sign of God's mercy. That even in destruction, even in judgment, the one who comes puts their faith in God, who turns to Jesus and say, you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is forgiveness. There is redemption. You come. You belong to the people of God. This woman who was a Canaanite, who was a foreigner, who worshipped other gods, who by profession was a prostitute, who was this one who would be foreigners and aliens to the people of God, was because of her repentance, her turning, she was brought in, and it says, and she lives with the people of God to this day. We saw a couple weeks ago, what's the answer to Rahab? She was the mother of who? Yeah. Obed, who is the father of Boaz, who Ruth married, who ultimately, right? David's great-grandmother, right? And so Dave, in the line of David, and ultimately the line of Jesus, she is part of the family of God and becomes part of the lineage of the people of God. Guys, even in God's destruction here, and even in his judgment, we see the sign that all people can be brought in to his kingdom, to be part of his people. This is why God spent so many verses saying, be faithful. Be faithful in your life, and be faithful as that witness to the life that is offered to all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's be those who are faithful this year in giving our lives wholly to him. Let's join with one another in holding each other accountable. Let's clear the path that at the time that's devoted to the Lord, the time that is devoted to the Lord, we would devote to the Lord. The time that is the money that we've set aside to give to the Lord, we've devoted to the Lord. We're going to be faithful to do it God's way. Not try to do it our way. You with me on this one? Is it time for that renewal? Is it time for that breakthrough? I think God has called us to it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful that you made a way through your Son Jesus. We thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit who helps us have self-control. We thank you that you break the false lies in our lives with the truth of your word. Would you help us dedicate to you the time to know you through your word, to walk with you in prayer, to see you open doors that only you can open. God, would you break down those walls of addiction in this congregation? Would you break down the walls of lies, of self-doubt, and belief in anything else other than we are your children called by your name to belong to you? God, would you break us of our own pride and arrogance that we think we can do it our way to fix whatever problems there are instead of relying on you who have called us to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from wicked ways. God, would you finish a work in us this year? And would you do a work through us this year that would glorify your Son? Make a difference in this world. Make us different. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing one final song today. It's a song of commitment. It's a song of prayer to the Lord. I want to pray, just like Josh challenged you earlier, to pray this as a prayer. You can stand, you can sit, but you pray to the Lord. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or we're having a baptism in a few weeks, if you want to come and be baptized as saying, yeah, I'm crossing a line here. I'm going to follow Jesus. If this is your moment to say yes to Jesus, come say yes to Jesus. If God's called you to be a member of this church and say, yeah, I know I'm only here a few years because I'm in college but I just know that I'm supposed to be here. You can come I'll be at the front, Pastor Barry, Pastor David, but we'll help you with whatever decision God is calling you to make. And for most of us, maybe right where you are, you're going to make a covenant with the Lord. I'm seeking you this year. I'm seeking you in this new way this year. Lord, renew us, restore us, save. You come and make the decision as God's calling you. As the worship team leads us, you stand or sit, but you worship the Lord with me.